Avery drummed her fingers restlessly on the armrest of her family's chopper. She felt her boyfriend's gaze on her and glanced up. "Why are you looking at me like that?" she asked, teasing.
"Like what? Like I want to kiss you?"
Max answered his own question by leaning over to drop a kiss on her lips.
"You may not realize it, Avery, but I always want to kiss you."
"Please prepare yourselves for the final approach to New York," the chopper's autopilot cut in, projecting the words through unseen speakers. Not that Avery needed the update. She'd been tracking their progress this entire trip.
"You okay?"
Max's eyes were warm on hers. Avery shifted, struggling to explain. The last thing she wanted was for Max to think she was anxious about him. "It's just, so much happened while I was gone." It had been a long time. 7 months, the longest she'd ever spent away from New York in all her 18 years.
"Including me."
Max gave a conspiratorial grin. "Especially you," Avery told him, mirroring his smile. The tower swam up rapidly to dominate the view through their flexiglass windows. Avery had seen it from this perspective plenty of times, all those years of traveling with her family or with her friend Eris and her parents. But she'd never before noticed how much it looked like a massive chrome headstone. Like Eris's headstone. Avery shoved that thought aside. She focused instead on the autumn sunlight dancing over the choppy surface of the river, burnishing the golden torch of the Statue of Liberty, which once seemed so tall but now was absurdly dwarfed by its great neighbor, the thousand-story megatower that sprouted from the concrete surface of Manhattan. The tower that her father's company had helped build, in which the Fullers occupied the top floor, the highest penthouse in the entire world. Avery let her gaze swoop to the boats and auto cars buzzing below, the monorail suspended in the air as delicately as strands of spider's silk. She'd left New York in February, soon after the launch of her father's new vertical living complex in Dubai. That was the night when she and Atlas had decided that they couldn't be together, no matter how much they loved each other. Because even though they weren't related by blood, Atlas was Avery's adopted brother. Avery had thought then that her entire world was shattered. Or maybe she herself was shattered into so many infinitesimally small pieces that she'd become the character from the nursery rhyme, the one who could never be put back together. She had been certain she would die from the pain of it. How foolish she'd been to think that a broken heart would kill her, but it was how she'd felt. Yet hearts are funny, stubborn, elastic little organs. When she didn't die after all, Avery realized that she wanted to leave, to get away from New York with its painful memories and familiar faces, just as Atlas had. She had already applied to Oxford's summer program. Now she simply pinged the admissions office and asked if she could transfer early, in time for the spring semester. She met with the dean at Berkeley Academy to request high school credit for Oxford's college courses. Of course, they all agreed, as if anyone would say no to Pearson Fuller's daughter. The only source of resistance, surprisingly enough, was Pearson himself.
"What's this about, Avery?"
he'd demanded when she came to him with her transfer papers. "I need to leave, to go somewhere far away, somewhere completely free of memories." Her father's eyes darkened.
"I know you miss her, but this feels extreme."
Of course. He assumed that this was about Eris's death. And it was, in part. But Avery was grieving Atlas, too. "I just need some time away from Berkeley. Everyone stares at me in the halls, whispering about me," she insisted, telling the truth. "I just want to get away. To somewhere no one knows me, and I don't know them."
"They know you all over the world, Avery. Or if they don't yet, they will soon enough," her father said softly. "I was going to tell you, I'm running for mayor of New York this year."
Avery stared at him for a moment in mute shock, though she shouldn't really have been surprised. Her father was never satisfied with what he had. Now that he was the richest man in the city, of course he would want to be the most prominent too.